6:55 is the song of the day.
Well, I hope you got enough to eat.
Oh, yeah.
Not a problem, right?
No problem.
We do have much to be thankful for. You know, I think of the psalm that says, and Jesus quoted this one, it says that you are God's. Think for just a minute. Think of the power that you possess in your life. You're the king of creation. Nobody makes you do anything. Everything you do because of choice. You have the ability to go and do just about anything. You have opportunities in life that are at your fingertips. The creation is in so many ways subject to you. The psalmist truly says we are gods in that respect. We are made in the image of God. Now, with that being said, we're blessed. God has given us much. It's easy to not think about that and to, you know, we go into self-pity. Why me? You know? Why me? Why is life the way it is? Why do I have the problems that I have? When we're actually like gods. We have great power. You got the world at the fingertips. You can make life whatever you want it to be. And God gave you that ability. We have a lot to be thankful for. I want to stop and think about some things that God has done for us. And these are general things, but they're good things that we are blessed with. You know, as we think about the pain and the struggles around us, we think about the contention that Wayne brought up in our society, and we see a lot of that. But you know what? Through it all, we can recognize and truly understand, if we're honest, the goodness of God. Here we are. We're blessed with so much. We're given so much to be thankful for. In Psalm 106 and verse 1, Psalm 106 and verse 1, the psalmist makes this statement, "Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." Think about the God of some that says you got to blow yourself up and hurt others. Think about the God that says you got to make an image and put it up on the pedestal, and then you set it there and you bow down to that image. How fruitless, how useless. Think of the God of the Israelites, where they were cutting themselves and the blood was gushing out as they petitioned their God to strike their fire and their sacrifice. Think about the God of Molech, where they took their infants and they sacrificed their infants to that God on the molten arms of their God Molech. Think about the God of self, where all we do is live for us and what we want and what we desire. They're pretty empty lives. But think about my God. He's blessed me. He's given me some proper instructions to teach me how to have a full and a great and a wonderful life by being the servant that Jesus was. You know, it's just such a joy to do for others and to serve them. Think about the great things that God has blessed us with, this wonderful world in which we live. The beautiful trees and the world and the sky and the air that we breathe and you name it. Even the weeds that we bring in the house and put on our table. The food that we eat. You know? Can you imagine we have different... Can you, you can make up just about anything, or you can eat McDonald's hamburgers all the time. And you're blessed either way, right? You know, because you like that hamburger. Or you like that variety of a meal. Think about the blessings of being able to do a job that you love. Or have one that pays your bills. Think about the blessings of being able to have a family together. Isn't it great? The wonderful thing with children and grandchildren. Aren't they amazing? God is good. Guys, I want you to stop and think about how God good is. How good God is. I want you to be aware of His goodness as you open your eyes in the morning. And I want you to thank Him for His goodness. Without Him, there would be nothing good. But with Him, there is so much to be thankful for and so much good to enjoy. Think about your toys. I mean, think about everything. God is so good and He blesses with so many wonderful blessings that we could go on and on and on. I can remember hearing a lesson on thanking God for the things that we have. And I remember after that sermon or that lesson that I heard, I don't even remember that part where I heard it, but I remember going home and I remember in my prayer that night, I spend a lot of time, I can't even tell you how much, but I know it seemed like a lot of time to a 10 to 12, 14 year old, I don't know. But I thanked God and just went through a long, long list of things that I had that I was able to enjoy, and it came because of God's goodness. That stuck with me over these years. Be thankful. Then there's that rescue from bondage, and the parallel here is being a slave in this world and being bound to some individual and not having the freedom to come and go as you please, but stuck in that situation without any choice. But what he's talking about in Romans 7, verses 24 and 25 is not that kind of bondage. It's the kind of bondage where we're bound to sin. And the punishment that comes with sin. We can't get out. We've sold ourselves. And he says in that passage, he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." And he's talking about the struggle within. And we do have a struggle within because, you know, there's sin that crouches at the door, and it deceives us to thinking that the wrong thing is the right thing. But you see, Jesus came and He released us from that bondage. He gives us the opportunity to see and to know and to understand what is right and to go forward. He's released us from the bondage of sin and the punishment of it. You know, we come together every Sunday and we partake of the Lord's Supper. And we talk about what Jesus has done and how he sacrificed His body on the cross, the bread. We talk about how He shed His blood on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. He purchased the church with His blood. And so we talk about those things, but do we really stop and think about it? Do we really recognize that Jesus has rescued us from that bondage? Without Him, you've got nothing. Are we thankful? It's so easy to go through the motions on Sunday. We come together, partake of the Lord's Supper, and some man gets up and makes a few comments, and we have a prayer, and we pass the elements. As soon as the prayer is said, our mind goes off to whatever. Okay? I have to keep mine in check because I find mine straying off. I'm not thinking about Jesus sometimes and what He's done. So I have to come back and recognize that I need to be thankful for what He's done. Jesus has released us from bondage of sin and the punishment and the struggles that come with it He's released us and give us a freedom to be able to live and to serve. And with all the blessings that come with it. And it's so easy to put God on the back burner and kind of mock at it, you know, with our attitudes and our actions. Oh yeah, we can easily put on a show about, oh, I'm thankful, and we can even show up to services, but inside, are we thankful? I've got to keep me in check. I've got to make sure that I don't forget what I've got to remember. I try to make sure that I keep myself in line where I keep going this week because I love Jesus and what He's done, and I'm thankful for what He's done. I keep trying to remember that I've got to put Him first in my life. And if my actions don't show it, I'm lying and I'm not thankful. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice so that we can live. Guys, let's be thankful. Let's be thankful for what Jesus has done. A passage in 1 Corinthians 15, and you know, the Ponce de Leon, and they searched for the fountain of youth. And he believed he found it, I believe, in Florida somewhere. He died, though. Amazing thing about that. You know, we've searched for youth, and when we're young, we think we got it all together, right? We think, oh, we're going to be this young forever. And then we find out we're not. We get a little older, and we find out the old body wears out, you know? And it don't work as good as it used to. We lay on our right side and our shoulder hurts. We lay on our left side, our hip hurts. I had a rough night, okay? My body was hurting. The old body wears out and we die. Death is a fact of life, guys. It's just as natural as being born. It's just as natural as breathing in a breath of fresh air, taking a drink of water. That's how natural death is. And it's that great fear, you know? You know, we struggle and we strain because, you know, we don't want to die. We're afraid of what's there. Jesus has taken away the sting of death. I talk to numerous people once in a while, and I can't remember. I was talking to somebody just a day or two ago on the phone, and I said, well, you're still above. And he said, well, he said, the other direction's good too for a faithful Christian. You know, we haven't been on that side. And so we don't really fathom it. If we had any inclination of the other side, every ounce of our fiber would be to obey and serve God. Every single ounce. If we could get a glimpse on the other side, I would believe that we would be more determined to be just like Jesus and do the will of the Father with every ounce of ability that we have. We can't see it. We're on this side, and so we're tempted by Satan to think that, oh, it's okay, but death is coming. Okay? When you're young, you think, oh, it's never going to come. You know, we're invincible, but we get a little older, and we find out that it's going to come. In fact, it gets to the point where you hurt bad enough, you say, it might not be too bad. In 1 Corinthians 15, 56 and 57, it says, the sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus has given us the victory. Sin is what brings on death. Sin is what causes that. But Jesus gave us a victory because, you know what? When this old body dies, if we're living for the Lord, it's just an amazing beginning. In fact, eternity doesn't end. So it's, can you even call it the beginning when it goes on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever? I mean, it's just there. And so we can recognize that in this life, even though this life is short and it's going to come to a close and it's filled with all kinds of struggles and trials, it's worth it to live for God. We can be thankful to God that He's given us the horizon when this life is over. It's just now getting good when that time comes. Now we can't see it except through the Bible, the eye of faith. We look into the Bible and we see the glories of heaven. We see the great blessings that come from being a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. And we see the comfort and the rest and the good things that are on the other side. And we say, thank you, God. But guys, let me tell you something. I really think as we consider that thankfulness, we'd better never forget about sharing it. Sharing it with others that need to hear and know, because they're going to go into eternity too. It's so easy to get complacent and comfortable in our own little shoes and own little corner of the world and not even worry about others. And we just think we're just happy and it's okay. We don't have to worry about helping other people find it. We don't have to worry. We do. Because death is going to come to your friends and neighbors. You know what's scary? They're looking at me. And they're looking at you. And your actions determine what they think about the Lord. That's really scary. Because I want them to go to heaven. I want to make sure my actions are what they should be. I need to be thankful that God gave me the opportunity. I need to be so thankful that God gave me the opportunity that I'm doing everything that I can to share it with others, because they're going to die. They're going to spiritually be dead when this life is over. And I don't want them to say, Fred, why didn't you tell me? That scares me. I don't want them to say, well, Fred, you did the wrong thing. I thought it was okay since you did. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine hearing that? Guys, we've got a responsibility, and we need to be thankful for what God has done. But we need to show it in the life that we live, because those on the outside are counting on us. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. It says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Let that sink in a little bit. I know as we go through life and its ups and downs, sometimes we're at points where we feel like we're losing. But that's only because we're at that point in time, okay? Give it time, because God causes us to triumph in Christ. There's that Philippians 4:13. I can
through Christ who strengthen me.
There you go. Everybody needs to memorize that verse, okay? And when you think you can't go on, say that in your mind. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, Philippians 4:13. The darkest years of my life, I said that 100 times a day. And you know, it was awful hard at the time. But I thank God because I triumphed through Jesus. You look at your difficult times and they're hard. But God made a promise. I need to be thankful to God for that. Even at those times where it doesn't feel like a triumph, we've got to look forward in faith, knowing that He promised. We need to be thankful for God's strength, for His leadership, for His guidance, because if we will follow it, and that's where the clincher comes in. Because what is it that we want to do? We want to be the boss. We want to say, God, I'm going to show you how it's done. Instead of saying, God, I need you to help me to triumph. We think we are gods in that respect, and that's where the problem comes. Yeah, the passage cannot be broken. It says ye are gods. But we need to keep that in a proper perspective and look at the other side of the coin. That is that God tells you and me what to do. God is the one that has the leadership, but we don't have to follow it. I think we need to be so thankful for the leadership of God that we ask and plead for that leadership. That we ask God to bring us down when we're not going in the direction that we should go. And we need to be thankful that He gives it. God always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. If we're not in Christ Jesus, though, guess what? No triumph. You need to study that passage and that phrase within the pages of the New Testament about being in Jesus. That's a very important phrase. The triumph comes in Jesus. And so we need to be very thankful that God can lead and will lead us if we so desire and are willing to follow that leadership. Now, if you're like me, sometimes we don't really want the direction that God gives us. Because there's something about God's leadership that often seems like the hard thing to do. It's kind of like being kind to your enemy. Who really wants to do that? I don't. Loving those that are hard to love. Being a servant. You know, when we think about being a servant, we think, oh, that's terrible. You know, the really be happy, we got to have everybody to wait on us hand and foot. God knows that's an empty life. You know? You know, I watch, you ladies are kind of amazing. I watch you and your service. And then it just reminds me of our responsibility, guys. You know, we need to be servants. And not just of our wives and the women, but of one another, of the world that we're in. We need to live a life of servants because that's where the joy's at. And so we need to be very thankful for the direction, the leadership that God gives us. I want to go to Romans 6:17. This is something that I really think is very important, and I try to think about it often. And I don't, it's odd, it's hard sometimes to really think about this, but we need to be thankful for those that are obedient to the gospel. You catch all that phrase? Let me read the verse. But God be thanked, this is Paul talking, that you, the Roman Christians, were the servants of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Now let's dissect that a little bit. Paul's saying, I'm thanking God for you guys. You know, and I look around on everybody here and I thank God for each and every one. I think of the blessings that God has brought into our lives. You know, and the joys that we have together. Isn't it great? And where do you think them blessings came from? They come from God. And so we need to keep that in mind and we need to be thankful for those. But he goes on and he makes some statements, I think, that are very important. And it says, these people were the servants of sin. And that's where we start out. But these Christians obeyed from the heart. Now, I could take a gun and hold it to your head and cause you to do just about anything. But when you obey from the heart, you do it because that's what you want to do. Nobody's forcing you. You know, and as a young person, we make them obey the rules. Okay? They get a little older in their teen years and we have a joy to see the proper spirit and attitude and service. It's a wonderful thing. It really is. I love to see that obedience from the heart. You and me need to obey from the heart. So Don't put ever put on a show. But obey because you love God. Be thankful for those that do. Notice that these individuals, they obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine. Now, that word form helps us to see that there is a pattern. And that's what that word form means. And so what he's saying is that the doctrine of Jesus Christ is, there's a pattern. And Paul is thanking God for those people that were obedient from the heart to that pattern of teaching found in the New Testament. Now, in Sunday morning Bible class, we've been talking about Revelation, and we're about to the end of that study, but it's shown us that if we deviate from that form, that's fornication and adultery. Okay? So if we change the doctrine some way that is different from this, when God gives us instructions, that's fornication, that's adultery, spiritual. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, guys, I am so thankful for you people that are obeying from the heart that pattern. We need to be thankful for people that obey according to the pattern, from the heart. Because I'll tell you what, it makes the work so exciting when we can work together with people that they obey from the heart. It's a wonderful thing because we're on the same page. You know, we can see together and we work together and we go forward together. What a greatness to be thankful for. Drop back over to chapter 1 and verse 8 of Romans. He says, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Why? Well, Paul answers that. That your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. You know what is encouraging? To be around people of faith. They have a confidence. They have a conviction that is based on their conviction of what God has said and their determination to follow the things that are there. And you know, that is so amazing to rub shoulders and spend time with these people that are going to live for God. They're not going to allow anything to stop them. You know, when things come up that would sidetrack them, they're going to say, no, not doing that. And they're great encouragement. And Paul said, I thank God for you because your faith is strong. You know, in that passage in 1 Corinthians, it says that God has placed every member in the body as it hath pleased him. I've thought about that a lot over the years. I like talking to Bob, and he says, man, I just think God opened up the doors to bring me where I'm at today. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think that's true. And you know what? I think every one of us is here for the same reason. See, you're here because of God. I'm here because of God. And it's not just because of God, but it's for a reason. You know what? Not that they're out of track from anybody, but when Brian and Shelly came, they came at a pretty difficult time for us. We was discouraged, wasn't we? We were really discouraged. We'd been through some tough times, had some big losses, some heartbreaks. Brian and Chrissy just sit back here and say, it's just us, we're nothing. But God placed you in the body as it pleased him. And I think you're where you need to be. And you feel an amazing spot, but it's the same with everybody here. You're here for a reason. God put you here. Now, maybe we have a conflict once in a while. But let's see God's guidance and direction, and let's thank God. And let's work and grow and go forward. That's what it's all about, because you're here and I'm here because of God. So are we going to argue with him, or are we going to thank him? I want to thank him. And I think we should. And then Acts chapter 28 and verse 15, you know, as we're coming into this particular time, the Apostle Paul had been through several years of captivity. He had been through a long journey. He had been through a terrible storm and a shipwreck and washed up on an island, or the shores of an island in the terrible storm. And he was in chains, getting ready to stand before Caesar. And all Caesar does to say is, I think he'd be fun to watch the lions work with. So that's where he's been for about, like, three years, I think. I can't remember exactly, but it's been quite a while. And so in verse 15, you know, they've left the island that they've been shipwrecked on, and they're in Rome, or coming towards Rome, and they are getting ready to be turned over to the guard. It says, and from there, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum, the Three Taverns, which is a city, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. There's been so many times over my life that I was at a low point, and a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ comes to my side to encourage me. And I've just had to stop and thank God, because they gave me such great encouragement because of their presence. I was talking with somebody just a little bit ago, and they were talking about somebody that was going to have some hard times. And they didn't know what to say. I said, you don't need to say anything. You just need to be there and care. I can remember a brother sitting with me in the kitchen of my house in Jamesport. He didn't know what to say. He didn't know. But it didn't matter, because he was there. He was there. Those brethren came to Paul at a very dark time. Yes, he had great confidence in God, but he knew that he might be fed to the lions. And that's just not a real pleasant thought. But they came to him and showed concern and care for him, and he was greatly encouraged. I am so thankful for the fellowship of the brethren. I can't make it without you guys. I love getting to know everybody. Don't we have a wonderful time? As we get to understand one another's personality, and we see the joy and the love that stands behind personalities, and we grow in that love towards one another, and we have this camaraderie and this fellowship that we can count on one another. And we're there when we know that there's something that needs to be helped and encouragement, we're there to help because we love. I thank God. And I think we better be thanking God. You know, there was times my kids weren't thankful and they didn't get it anymore. You know? Sometimes I think God needs to take things away. I'm not so sure how God works, but sometimes I think that's what God does. I think we need to be thankful for all the blessings that we've got, but we need to make sure that we use them properly. Guys, I think, as we look and start bringing this lesson to a close, I think we need to recognize that if you're not thanking God, you're in sin. It's sin. And I always have to bring my mind back to that and keep myself to be thankful, and I try to be thankful. Because, you know, it's so easy. I mean, we get busy life. We got so much going on. And then it's easy to take things for granted because of us, the hustle and everything that's going on. And before long, we think, when's the last time I thanked God for my blessings? And you know what happens when we don't thank God for blessings? We forget how blessed we are. You ever think about that? How much do you realize that you're so blessed when you forget to thank? We need to be thankful, don't we? We really do. In James chapter 4 and verse 17, an amazing passage that there's a lot in this verse, okay? And I think we need to look at it and consider it. It says this, "Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin." Is there anybody here that thinks that it's not good to thank God for all that he does? Wow. You know, that's a sobering thought. It really is. Because it's easy. Here we live in this body, and it's so easy to forget that we need to be thankful, and we need to voice that thankfulness to God of all that he does for us. And you know what? When we get to that point, we're involved in sin. We need a reminder every once in a while to remember to thank God. I don't want to be involved in sin. Because sin, it hurts Jesus, but it also hurts people just looking at me. Because when I sin, you know what that causes them to do? Sin. It makes it easier for them. Because I embolden them and I make them stronger to do the wrong thing because I'm doing the wrong thing. And so we have the responsibility, guys, when we know that being thankful is good, and we want to be thanked when we do something nice. But it's so easy to forget that we need to be thankful to God. In their passage in Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18, and we read several verses there, we're seeing a progression of sin within this thing about how people kind of, it gets worse and worse, you know, and that's the way sin is. That's why we got to be careful to not allow sin into our lives. It says in Romans 1:18 and following, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." All. It's a little bit further in this because notice it says, "who hold the truth in unrighteousness." There's a little element of there of people that call themselves righteous, but they're not. They talk a good game, okay? They condemn others for doing things that they're doing. And you read down through chapter 2. But notice how it continues. He says, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood that the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Guys, I see a progression within this context. And I see that thankfulness is a very important thing to help us to stay on the right path. We need that recognition and the acknowledgement of the greatness of our God. Rebels do not thank God. Remember who you are. Then in Luke 6 and verse 35. You know, I've looked at this so much over the years. And I come back to it and I keep... It's hard. Jesus says, "But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great in heaven, and you shall be the children of the highest." Now watch this. "For he is kind to the unthankful and to the evil." Look at the world around us. Look at the many blessings that are in the worst of people's lives. God's the one that gives the blessings. And they don't even stop to thank God. But God's still good. God's still good. It's hard to imagine. You and me have got a job. We need to make sure that in our life, every single day of our life, that we humbly thank God, recognizing that He is the source of all good. Recognizing that we need to be thankful for when the struggles come, because we know that He will turn them around and make them good for us and cause us to be better and stronger and help us to go to heaven. You know, I look at the rich man and Lazarus, and you know, the rich man had all these physical blessings, and Lazarus was a beggar and had poor health. Lazarus went to heaven. And don't you think that in heaven, Lazarus could look back and say, "Thank you, God. You knew what I needed to help me come home." Guys, God has given you one wonderful opportunities in life to make so much of anything. And we've got a lot of possibilities. I want you to thank God for your life, for what it is. Thank Him for the opportunities and the blessings. Ask Him and plead with Him for help, that you will use those things for His glory and live for Him with every ounce of fiber that you've got. When you come to the end of this life, there's nothing else going to matter. Not one thing. You need to be thankful to God. And your life needs to show it. If there's anyone that needs to respond to the invitation this evening, guys, please do it now while we stand and sing.